I know, but we're in the middle of a story. So I don't want to start in the middle of the story. I want to start in the beginning of the story. Huh?
Rabbi Yehuda?
Hertzurim Mirabonon. The bottom of the first column.
Yeah.
17a1, Yudzayin Amid Aleph. The Gemara is speaking basically about excommunications, banning people, excommunicating people. The last thing he said was you could do it yourself sometime. You know, if it's clear to even a young rabbinic scholar has a right to excommunicate people. And from the stories we're going to learn today in the Gemara, we see that even a maidservant used to excommunicate. Okay, so the Gemara says like this. There was a certain young rabbinical scholar, Davasana Shumani. His reputation was hateful, meaning he became immoral. He was a scholar, but he was not acting morally correct. Amar Rav Yehuda, so Rav Yehuda said, "Hey Chalavi, what should we do? We have a dilemma. The Shamte, should we excommunicate him? We can't. Tzricha le-Rabbanan. The Rabbanan need him because he was a big scholar. So if we excommunicate him, the Chachamim are not going to be able to learn from him. Le Shamte, should we not excommunicate him? Kol mitachal shma deshmaya. The heavenly name will be desecrated because he's not behaving properly." So he said, we don't know what to do. From one side, we need the guy. From one side, it's not nice not to excommunicate him. So what did he do? Amar le Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. So Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, he said, "Mida shmielach baha. Did you hear anything about such a case, whether we should ban him or not? Maybe you heard of such a halacha." Amar le, so he said to him, "Hachi amar Rabbi Yechon." This is what Rabbi Yechon said as follows. It's a ma'idach. What is this that it says in the pasuk? In fact, it was in the Haftarah this week. Kisiv sekein yishmeru das, for the lips of the kain should safeguard knowledge. V'teira yevakshu mipihu, and you should seek teira from his mouth. Ki malach Hashem tzvoisu, because he's like an angel. So what he said, what does this pasuk mean? He means like this. Im de maharav lo malach Hashem, if the teacher resembles an angel of God, meaning he has good behavior, then yevakshu teira mipihu, then you should could seek teira from his mouth. V'im lav, and if not, al yevakshu teira mipihu, don't seek teira from his mouth. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said, Rabbi Yechon said a statement. He might be a big scholar, but if he's not, doesn't behave properly, you can't learn from him. So he basically told Rabbi Yehuda, you have to ban the guy, because even though the rabbis need him as a scholar, but they can't learn data from him, because he's not a good person. So what happened? Shamti Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated him. Rabbi Yehuda put him into chedim. So now the Gemara tells the story. The Seif, eventually, sometime later, Ichalash Rav Yehuda, who banned this guy, got sick. Also, Rabbanan Shulu Levi. So the Chachamim came to inquire, meaning to be Mevakar Chela, to visit him. For also, Iyo Name Badai, and the excommunicated scholar came along with them. Okay, but as it brings down, that the Mokyesa writes that he stayed 4 Amis away because he was banned. But he came. Katchazer Rav Yehuda, when Rav Yehuda saw him, Chayach, he left. Rav Yehuda left. Amalei, so the guy said to Rav Yehuda, Le mistayach de shamte lahu gavra, it's not enough that you banned me. El achuchi nami chayachu, you're laughing at me. This guy thought that Rav Yehuda was laughing at him. So he was upset. He says, it's not enough that you banned me, you want to laugh at me too. Amalei, so Rav Yehuda said to him, no, lav bi didoch mechayin, I'm not laughing at you. I'm not laughing at you. Why am I laughing? He said, "Tchiyazlin and lahu alma." Because when I come to Yenevelt, the next world, b'dicha b'datoy, my mind will be clear from the fact that filu legaver kavasach, that even a great person like you, lechanifale, I didn't flatter, meaning I wasn't afraid of you. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda said, "What? Yudzayin amid aleph."
Yudzayin
amid aleph.
Where on the page?
Right before the wide lines. The first set of wide lines. So basically, Rav Yehuda said, what I'm laughing is that I had the guts to excommunicate you and I wasn't afraid of you. Okay? So the Gemara says like this. Meanwhile, the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda banned him. Rav Yehuda got sick. The guy came to visit him. Rav Yehuda laughed. He said, why did you laugh? He said, because I wasn't afraid of you. Now the Gemara says, but the guy still remained excommunicated. So now the Gemara says, Noch nafshi de Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda passed away. After a while, Rabbi Yehuda passed away. Now, the problem was, the guy was still excommunicated. And they wanted to undo the excommunication. So, this guy who was excommunicated came to the Beis Medrash, Amlohu, and said to the rabbis, Sharuli, you know, release me from my ban, enough already. Rabbi Yehuda passed away, he banned me, now get me out of this ban. Amle Rabbanon, so the Rabbanon said, 1 minute, we have a problem. We don't have a person as great as Rav Yehuda to unban you. Because the din is, in order to unban a ban, you have to be as great as the person who made the ban. And they said, nobody's as great as Rav Yehuda, who made the ban. So we have a problem. How can we unban you? So the Gemara says, so they advised him like this. Go to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Now this is not the real Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Rashi explained this is the grandson of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. That's why he was called Nasiya. You know, it's not the real... But anyway, he was equal in greatness to Rabbi Yehuda. So they said, you know what? He's the only one that can undo the ban. So what happened? Ozel Kamei. So he came to Rabbi Yehuda Nisoi to ask him to undo the ban. So what happened? Amalei the Rabami, Rabbi Yehuda Nisioi, said to Rabami, Puk Ayin Bedina, go look into the din and see, maybe you can find a leniency to unban the guy. And he says, Imi boy the Mishle, if he's required to release him, Shadalei, then I will release him. Meaning, if I'm able, you know, to release him, I'll release him from the ban, but check out the halacha. I and Rabami Bedina, so Rabami went and looked into the din. Savir Lemishle, and he wanted, based on his learning, what he looked into, the halacha, he said, oh, I think we're able to unban him. Okay? So what happened? Amad Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni Aragov. There was another rabbi in the Beis Din, in the Beis Medrash. His name is Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni. He got up on his feet and he said, Oma Shivcha Shal Beis Rabbi. There's a story of a maidservant. The Gemara is going to later say what the story is. There's a maidservant in Rabbi's house that banned somebody. The maidservant banned somebody. And Leinogu Chachamim Kalas Reish Ben Neduya Shalashanim, and the Chachamim did not treat her excommunication lightly for 3 years. That means the Chachamim kept her ban for 3 years. Yehuda chavereinu. So if Rabbi Yehuda, our colleague, made a ban, alachas kama v'kama, how much more so we can't undo the ban? In other words, this Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachmeni said, what are you talking about? How can you undo the ban of Rabbi Yehuda? What if a maidservant of Rabbi's house made a ban and the Chachom kept it for 3 years out of respect? So Rabbi Yehuda, who is much greater than the maidservant, made a ban, we're going to undo it so easily.
What cases were maidservants able to...
Oh, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to tell the story of what happened. The Gemara is going to tell the story of why she made a ban on somebody.
Or why it would have any efficacy or power.
So do you see, that's what the Gemara is saying. The Gemara is going to ask soon the story, in like 10, 15 lines, the Gemara is going to ask the story, what happened, we'll see why she banned him. Well, no, we'll
and
see.
That you would ban them is one thing. That anybody would pay any attention to it is something...
No, but you see the Chumim accepted.
Right. Exactly.
Because she was a maidservant to Rebbe's house.
That's
mine, so the Gemara says, Amar Abzeira. Abzeira said, look at this. He said to the assembled scholars, Man de Kamon, look what's standing... Well, look what's going on here. The Osai Hidna Isover Bereis Medrash, Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, finally came into the Beis Medrash today. The Kama Shani Leos, he wasn't here for years. You know, what's his name? Rav Zeira said, guys, you know, this is strange. Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni, the one that said, how could you undo the ban? He hasn't been in yeshiva for years. And punk today, out of all days he came, to say the halacha that you can't unban the guy. He says, Shema Mina. So we see from here that's coming like from Hashem, let me boil the mission, we shouldn't release the scholar from the ban. That means even though Rav Yehuda Nisioi told Rav Ami to look into the halacha, and Rav Ami found that in halacha we should unban the guy, but the fact that Rav Shmuel ben Nachmeni got in his feet and said what he said, that how could you undo a ban that Rav Yehuda made, And this proves from God that we shouldn't unban it. And the Gemara says, Le Shorali. The Taker did not unban the guy. They did not release the ban. And the ban stayed. Oh, not done yet. Nafik. So now the Gemara concludes the story with this guy. Okay? The guy went out. The scholar who was banned went out. He was walking along and crying. A bee came, bit him on his male organ. Don't forget, this guy was an immoral person, right? And he died. So the guy died while still being in ban, because they never unbanned him. The Gemara says, Ailu lemarasa de chasida. They wanted to bring his corpse to the burial cave of the pious people, you know, of the Hasidim, but they kiblu, they didn't accept him. Why? So the Rashi brings down from a different Gemara what happened. What do you mean they didn't accept him? A snake came and covered the whole entrance to the cave. They used to bury in caves. That's what you would say, they burned to the cave of the pious to bury there. A snake came and covered the whole mouth of the cave. Basically, they didn't let the people bring the corpse in. What happened? Ailu lemarasa de dayana. They brought him to the burial cave of the judges, the kiblu, and they accepted him. Over there, they were able to bury him. So the Gemara says, my time, why? In other words, why was he accepted by the judges and not by the chassidim? So he said, the Ovid Krabeloi, because this person, when he sinned, you know, the rumor was he was an immoral scholar, but he did what Rav Eloi said. What did Rav Eloi say? The Amr Rav Eloi says, the Tanya Rav Eloi, Amr, this is a very famous Gemara. Imreya Adam Shiyitzre Mizgaber, if a person sees that the Yetzirah is getting the better of him, he's getting the better of him. In other words, he's going to sin. The Gemara says, Yelech L'malkim Shem Akir, and I say, go to a place where nobody knows you. You'll be shchedim, put on black clothing, v'yisatev shchedim, and wrap yourself in black clothing, meaning cover your face, v'yasem ha-shaliv v'chofetz, and do whatever you want. And if you want a single sin. But, yizchalo shem shemayim v'farhesya, that God's name shouldn't be desecrated publicly. So this guy, this is our summer for Shem L'Musun, basically this guy, when he sinned, went to foreign places to sin, where nobody knew him. And that's why they accepted him in the cave of the judges, but not in the cave of the Hasidim. That's one interpretation. Now Rashi says another interpretation from Rav Goin, that what does Rav Eloi mean? Would Rav Eloi give you an Eitzah how to sin? I mean, if you learn the Gemara simply, Rav Eloi says, listen, you want to sin? Okay, just go to a place nobody knows you and then go sin. I mean, that's what he says, you should do whatever you want. How could Rav Eloi say such a thing? So the second way of learning Rav Eloi is, not that you have permission to sin. If you go to a place where nobody knows you, you'll be like, you don't feel at home, so you'll be shy and embarrassed to sin. That's what he means. Not that you could sin. Even though he uses the expression, he says, wearing humbling attire will undoubtedly deflate one's passions and prevent him from sinning. So in other words, there's two ways of learning, and the way the Mefarshim explained, Taisa says this, the way the Mefarshim explain, there's two reasons why they brought him into the cave. Because one opinion, Rabbi Eloi says, sin as long as it's not public. And the other opinion, Rabbi Eloi says, do these things and you won't come to sin. So one opinion says he took him into the cave of the judges because he didn't sin. And the other opinion says he sinned, but not publicly, so they allowed him in.
What did he sin with?
Immoral stuff.
According to the opinion that he didn't really sin, then the whole subject of excommunication was from that.
Why? No, but the fact that there were rumors about a scholar.
So they banned him based on rumors.
Right. Even if his scholar was, you know.
Even though, according to this opinion, he didn't actually do
it. Right. Well, Tasis says over here, you see the fourth Tasis, they're all short Tasis in over here. Imreya Adam Shiyitzim is Gabir Olav. Rabbi Eloi says, you know, if you see Yetzar, go sin. So Tais is like asking the question, what do you mean you have permission to sin? He says, Kazer Rabbeinu Chananel, Chas v'Sholem, Lehuta Lelasis Haveda. Nobody's going to say Rabbi Loi says, okay, you want to sin, just go to a different city and sin. I mean, God forbid for Rabbi Loi to say that, he says. What it means is, Aidei kach yichna libe. So this will become humbled and he won't sin. Now, that's... It says also, the snake covered it. And the first taste says, why did the bee bite him on his male organ? Because he was accused or rumored of immorality. So therefore, that's where the snake bit him, taste says.
The bee
stung him. Yeah. Ouch, yeah. Okay, now the Gemara continues. And the Gemara asks a question. We said before that what was the Rav Shmuel ben Achmeni's statement? If a maid servant of Rebbe's house made a ban, and the Chachamim kept it for 3 years, so if Rav Yehuda made a ban, for sure we can't just knock it off. So he says, what's the story of Shivcha Shobeis Rebbe? What's the story, you know, of the Shivcha Shobeis Rebbe? So the Gemara says, Mahi, what's the case? So it says, the Amsa Devei Rebbe, the maidservant of Rebbe's household, once chazis elahu gavra, she once saw a man, dava machal lebnei hagadol, he was striking his older son. Okay? Amr alei, so she said, levahu gavra v'shamta, this guy should become excommunicated. Why? The ka'ava mishum lefnei evil lesitin mishum, because he sinned by hitting his son, before a blind man not putting a stumbling block. What does this mean? It says, the Tanya, because we learned in the Braise, lefnei evil lesitin mishol, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to put a stumbling block before a blind man, which is interpreted to mean, you're not allowed to help somebody sin. So the Gemara says, what's an example of that? The Pasuk is speaking, if you hit your big son. What does it mean? In fact, in Shulchan Aruch it says 16. Shulchan Aruch says the age of 16, you're not allowed to hit your kids. Why? They might hit you back. And the kid hitting a parent is his aveira. If they cause bleeding, it's capital punishment. So therefore it says in Halacha, you're not allowed to hit your 16-year-old kid. Or it says in Poskim, any age that they're liable to hit back, you know, over bar mitzvah, and then you're causing them to sin. So what happened? Rebbe's maidservant saw a guy hitting his older son. So she said, you should be excommunicated because you're causing your son to sin. He might hit you back. And that ban, the Chachamim kept for 3 years.
Wow. This is the maidservant?
Yep.
Wow. That's quite a ban.
They were very special people in Rabbi Yehuda Nasi's house. There's a story at the end of Ksubas, I mentioned this many times, that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi had what we would call today probably stomach cancer. The Gemara said he died from stomach pains, and there's excruciating pains. And the Chachamim were davening that he should get...
Rabbi Yehuda
Nasi? Yeah, the Gemara at the end of Ksubas. And the Gemara says that the Chachamim were davening that he should get healthy. But one of his attendants, the maidservant, so it was a laundry lady, whatever it was, she was in the house. She saw his suffering. And she said to God, you know what? Just kill him. Take him away already and stop his suffering. Uh-huh. And the Gemara says, Hashem listened to her and she died.
She died?
He died. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Nasi passed away. Because she told Hashem, take him already. I see, you know, she saw, she was living in the house. She saw what was going on with the suffering. She said to Hashem, you know what? Forget the rabbi. Just take him away already. And Hashem,
you and I learned that together, but she interrupted the tefillos of the...
Right, but she also davened to Hashem, and she said, take him already. So you see, the maidservants of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's house, so we're very powerful. So it says, if, that's what Rabbi Shmuel ben Achmeni said, if her ban the Chachamim didn't treat lightly for 3 years, Rabbi Yehuda banned the scholar for being immoral, or rumored to be immoral, you just want to undo it? So the end result is, a guy died in ban. The bee stung him and he died.
But is excommunication, would that be the appropriate punishment for somebody who was hitting his older child?
Well, she did it.
So
the Gemara is going to talk about this. The Gemara later is going to talk about what do you do nowadays. I mean, this is in the Gemara's time, so they didn't ban so much. They used to whip lashes instead. But in the time of the Gemara, you see cases coming up now. The guys used to ban left and right. I mean, even this Gemara, we see that they were banning left and right. Now there's another story with Reish Lakish with figs. They banned another guy. Says Reish Lakish have a menate pardesa. Reish Lakish was once guarding an orchard. It's interesting. These scholars push it had regular, simple jobs, you know, to make a living. Also, Gavra, so a certain man came, the Ka'achotain, and started eating figs from the tree. A guy pusher came and started eating the figs when the Shlokish was watching. Rama Beikala, so the Shlokish started screaming at the guy to stop, you know, stealing the figs. Velei Ashkech Bei, and the guy didn't pay any attention, he kept stealing the figs. Amr, so the Shlokish said, Leva Ho Gavra Beshamte, you should be excommunicated. Amalei, so listen to this. So the guy said to the Shlokish, Adrabe, Leva Hu Gavra Beshamta, you should be excommunicated. Why? No, he said, why? What did he say to him? You have no right to excommunicate me. And for wrongly excommunicating me, you should be excommunicated. Why? And he said like this. Imam in ischaif tilach, if I owe you money for stealing the figs, do I get excommunicated? It is because I owe you money, you excommunicate me. You want to take me to Duntaita that I stole your figs? He said, okay, you know, take me to Duntaita, I'll pay. So what happened was, the Shlokish bans this guy, and the guy answers him back, you should be banned for banning me because you had no right to ban me. So what happened? Yeah, so the Shlokish came to the yeshiva to ask, what's the halacha? What's the story? Amrulay, they said to him, if anything, Shalai Nidui, his excommunication was valid. Shalach, yours, ain't of Nidui, wasn't valid. So he basically said to him, to the Shlokish, if anything, you're banned, not him. Because you had no right to ban him, but he had a right to ban you because you banned him wrongly. So,
you said everybody's been using the term or the translation is where that you should be banned.
Right.
But saying you should be banned is not equivalent to saying you are banned. It's to say you should be banned, but it's not to say that you are now and henceforth banned.
No, I mean basically he says you are banned. I mean,
that's what it means.
Yeah.
You are banned. Yeah. How does anybody know the time? During which that ban is good.
Oh, it's good until they take it off.
So until the person banning him is heard from that ban.
Yeah. Continues. Yeah, and that's the whole question. And then now, before we learned, Avyuda died.
Right. That
so they had to find somebody else. No, so I'm saying somebody of equal stature has to remove the ban. So the Gemara says.
Not the same as the last week, the one from Beit Din gives.
Well, this is all rabbis doing it. Well, Maita Kanta. So, Reish Lakish says, okay, so now that I'm banned, what do I do to get out of it? Because Reish Lakish got banned. They said, Zila Gabay Delishulach, go to him and ask him forgiveness. You know, go to him, he made the ban. Go to him and ask him to take it off. So Reish Lakish say, no, Reish Lakish is a Layadinale, but I don't know who it is. I don't know the guy. How can I go find him? Amrulay, so he said, okay, you know what? Zila Gabi Nisoy Delishroch. Go to the Nasi, meaning to the leader, and he could unban any ban. The Tanya, because we learned in the Braise, Niduya, if somebody was excommunicated, and you don't know who excommunicated you, what should you do? Yelechaitzel Nasi, go to the Nasi, Vyatiloy Niduya, and he'll release you. Huh? The leader of the Jewish people. In the time of the Shlokish, it was probably either Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, if he was still alive, because the Shlokish was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, or the next grandson, whatever, you know, one of the people that could undo the ban. But it's interesting. And the Gemara says, the Shlokish got banned by this Ganef, by a Ganef. This is even worse than the maidservant. The maidservant was from a very good woman. Here a ganef banned him and was valid.
What does it mean? What does it mean to say a ganef tells you, so who knows about it? Who cares about it?
Some guy, but Rish Lakish.
Rish
Lakish felt it.
Okay, he felt it.
The Gemara is going to discuss in a little while, what does it mean, shamto and nidui? You know, what do these expressions mean? You know, excommunication is not only a physical phenomenon that you have to keep four amos away. It's a spiritual cutoff. You're spiritually excommunicated. The Gemara is going to talk about it soon. You know, how far does it go? So the Shokish was a big tzaddik. He said, you know, what's the story? Am I or am I not excommunicated? We learned all the, you know, there's a lot of halachas. We learned all the things, you know, on the chart. We learned before what you're allowed to do, what he's not allowed to do. You know, remember the oval here, the menuda. He can't take a haircut. It's tefillin, we don't know. Greeting others, we don't know. Studying Torah is allowed. Laundering is forbidden. Working, you know, a whole bunch of things that you're allowed to do and not allowed to do. If Rish Lakish wanted to know, what's the story? Am I or am I not? Or is he banned or not? So they said to Rish Lakish, you have no right banning him. Because the Gemara is saying, over monetary issues, you can't ban a guy. If he has to pay, let him pay. If he doesn't pay, he doesn't pay. In other words, what happened, Yavol Mushal, if a guy stole, let's say, and Bezdin said you have to pay, and the guy refused to pay, then it's not monetary anymore. Then it's not listening to Bezdin. So then Bezdin would excommunicate a guy. Like we learned before, you know, if a guy doesn't come three times to Bezdin, and you know, he doesn't listen to Bezdin, then Bezdin has a right to ban him. But you can't just ban somebody over a monetary issue until there's a psak that you have to pay it.
We understand Bedin, but the question is, does everybody have the power to impose the ban?
In the time of the Gemara, you see from here, the Ganef had the ability. The Ganef banned him, and the Chachamim say, the only way you can get out of it is go to him and ask him to undo it, or go to the Nasi. But it's a Ganef, you're talking about a Ganef, not a Av Bezdin.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
You can just pull the trigger there, yeah.
So he brings down, although excommunications are issued in monetary cases, like Dimar said before, the trespasser argued that his communication, excommunication, was unjustified because Rish Lakish should have first sued him in Bezdin.
So, his nidui came for without the Beidin and Zaldin, so he just made if a
you,
verdict.
But if you ban somebody for no reason, then you get banned.
Question, would Rish Lakish be knowledgeable enough to kind of understand this at the beginning? I'm curious that why he...
See, I don't know what status of Rish Lakish this was at. Rish Lakish was a gangster, the Gemara says.
Right.
Then he met Rabbi Yochanan. He thought he was in the river, and he thought Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a beard. He didn't shave, he just didn't grow a beard. So Rish Lakish, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, I believe, thought that he was a beautiful woman. So Gemara says he was so strong, he jumped over the river. Because he thought Rabbi Yochanan was a woman. So Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if somebody with your power and might and energy and capabilities would become a big scholar, go learn. And Rabbi Yochanan said to him, if you go learn, I'll give you my sister's more beautiful than me as a wife. So he agreed, and he tried jumping back over the river, and he fell into the river. So the Gemara says, Torah weakens the life of a person because he didn't have the koyach anymore. So he ended up becoming Rabbi Yochanan's, the famous Rabbi Yochanan that he always argued with, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, was his brother-in-law. Mm-hmm. Now, I didn't see it in any other place, but another Friedrich Rebbe in a Maimer brings down that there's two opinions about Rish Lakish. Either he was a gangster and then became a big Amir of the Gemara, or he was once great, went off and came back. So it was either like... But the bottom line is, I don't know what level of Rish, when this story that he was watching, I just can't imagine the famous Rish Lakish as the big Talmud Chacham watching fig trees. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but he had to be somebody very special to have been sensitive to what the kind of...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So it could be in the earlier stages of his learning period. Again, I don't know exactly, you know, when this was. Umar doesn't say. Much as he was watching an orchard, and this is what happened, and that's it. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Amar Rav Huna said, In Usha, they made a takana. Okay, four lines into the very wide lines. In Usha, they made a takana that Av Bezdin Shasarach, in the case of an Av Bezdin who sinned, Ein Menadenesi, don't excommunicate him. Okay, you don't excommunicate him because, well, whatever. El Emele, what do you tell him? If you don't ban him, what do you do? What do you tell him? You tell him, he covered v'shev b'v'secha. Maintain your honor and stay in your house. Meaning, like he says, the whole story of this, meaning, stay home and, you know...
Retire, huh?
No, just don't come out in public. Shenem, chazer v'sarach, what happens if he still kept sinning? Then the din is, menadeneisim nechil Hashem. Then you have no choice, but you have to explicitly ban him, because otherwise it's a disgrace of Hashem's name. When people hear, the head of the Bezdin was going around sinning. So in other words, out of respect to the Av Bezdin, who is second to the Nasi, by the way, so then the Chachamim said, you know, let's not excommunicate, just tell him to stay home. What's called administrative leave, whatever they call it. But he keeps doing it, then you have no choice. And the Gemara says, Upliga the Reish Lakish. And this Rav Huna argues on Reish Lakish. Why? The Amir Reish Lakish, by the way, Reish Lakish's name was Rav Shimon ben Lakish, but they just call him for short, Reish Lakish. Talmud Chacham Shesarach, Talmud Chacham, who sins, a menadenesi befarhesia. You don't do it openly. Meaning you don't make a public banning out of him. Shenema, because it says in the Pasuk, V'chashalta hayayim, where you will stumble by the day, V'chosho gamnavi imcha laila, and the false prophet is with you, will also stumble as if by night. And then it says in the Pasuk, Kiso kalaila, conceal him like a leader. Meaning, you should only conceal him like night, in hiding, not publicly. So therefore, what do you see from here? That according to Reish Lakish, you can only privately ban him, not publicly. Or, another thing is, that Reish Lakish holds you give him a warning first. And according to, Rav Huna says you give him a warning. According to Reish Lakish, you ban him right away. So it's two things they're arguing, so to speak. Reish Lakish says first Rav Huna says first you warn him, and then you ban him publicly. And Reish Lakish says, you ban him privately at night right away. So that's the difference between the two opinions. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. This is a continuation of the banning story.
Can you get what? If the same period of Reish Lakish in both lines are in the same level of intelligence, can you identify what timeline is the entire point here?
What do you mean?
Here.
When historically it happened?
Yeah, to go here.
How many years ago, you mean?
The stages of Reish Lakish.
Reish Lakish was...
In his medium days.
In his beginning, in the middle.
No, Reish Lakish was older than Rav Huna.
No, but because those two come together...
These two stories are not together.
Are not together?
No.
Even though they're written on the same
page? No, that doesn't mean... Gemara could be hundreds of years apart. Okay, then the Gemara says, Mazuta Chasida, whenever Mazuta the Chasid, ki mechayev tzuvim mirabanu shamta, whenever he had to excommunicate a young rabbinical student for doing something wrong, bereish mishamei nafshi. First, he banned himself. And then, v'hodim mishamei l'didei, and then he banned the student. Why? So Rashi explains, or other mefashim, yeah, Rashi says, he had pity on the student. So for the student's honor, so to speak, he would ban himself first, and then ban the student to say, listen, we're both equal. And others interpreted to mean that he wanted to show his student that he wasn't happy doing it, that he banned himself, like he punished himself in order to punish somebody else. He wasn't doing it because he enjoys punishing people. He suffered along together with the student. Then, ki ava hayel bo ushpiza, then when he went home at night, after yeshiva was over, so he banned the guy during the day, right? Then when he went at night, shara leila nafshi, mazutra chasida unbanned himself, V'ahadu sharal l'didei, and then he released the student. Meaning, as he brings down, that he didn't want, Marzut HaChassid was such a righteous man, he knew he had to ban the guy, but he didn't want to keep a ban overnight. So he banned himself, then banned the student, and then he unbanned himself and unbanned the student at night.
So what did the student do for those?
For just in other words, he was in ban for the day, that's it.
One day?
Yeah.
He had to stay by himself?
Yeah, 4 amos away from everybody else. He was allowed to learn Torah, he could go to the yeshiva, he just had to sit in the corner. Yeah.
Put him in the corner.
He wasn't there. As long as he's 6 feet away from everybody else. Then the Gemara says, Amar Gidol Amar Rav, Rav Gidol Amar Rav said, Talmud Chacham, Menad La'atzme can excommunicate himself, or Mefer La'atzme and release himself from the ban. Meaning like this. This is like a proof to Marzut al-Hasid's behavior. Marzut al-Hasid banned himself, then the student, then unbanned himself. So what do you see from there, the Gemara says? Rav Gidol Amar Rav says, you see from there, that's the din, that he can ban himself, for whatever reason, and unban himself. Amar Rav Papa says, Taisali means, I'm going to get rewarded. Le'ishamti tzurvim merabana me'ilam. I never banned a rabbi. That means it seems that all the other chachamim were banning everybody. And that Papa said, my reward, so to speak, in the world to come, I never banned a chacham. So the Gemara says, so what did he do? You know, if a guy was deserving of being banned, what did Rav Papa do? He said, what did Rav Papa do? I mean, you have to punish him somehow. So he says, so he says what he did was, because like similar to what he did in Eretz Yisrael. In Eretz Yisrael, they would vote to give Malkus lashes to the guy that sinned. And they never imposed to give Shamta, to ban the student. Okay? But, and the puppet did the same thing like they did in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, he's bringing down from the Mefarshim, that the Mefarshim explained why in Eretz Yisrael didn't they do it. They didn't want to embarrass the student. So instead, they gave him lashes, which was a lesser level of punishment, because excommunication was, you know, pretty harsh, spiritually, physically. And like this, they just whipped him up a little bit.
Well, whipping was no small thing. They really hit him hard, didn't they?
Yeah, but they gave him what he was able to handle. This wasn't, was Singapore, what was it? Singapore where they lashed the guy?
Caning.
Caning, yeah. Caning. Because over there, they didn't use a belt. They used a stick.
Bamboo.
But the belt that the guys in the Gemara says about giving Malkus, not what you give to the Erevim Kippur, talking the belt had to be a tefach wide, 3 to 4 inches wide, and it was gazetzed. You know? That was solid. It hurt. Okay, now the Gemara says, after all these pages of the Gemara, it says, my Shamta. What is this concept of Shamta? Like, what does it mean? Where does it come from? What does it mean? Amar Rav. Rav says it means 2 words. Shame Misa. Designation of death. Shamta is shame, misa. The mem is used both ways, like shame, misa. Shmuel Ahmad, Shmuel says it means shmama yihiyah. It comes in 2 words, tehei shmama, meaning it should be a desolation. Which means, umahane beikitichne betanur. And excommunication affects a person, like animal fat that is smeared on the tiles of an oven. What does it mean? The fats of an oven, Rashi explains, that when it's fats of the oven, the animal fats in the oven become absorbed within the walls of the oven, and they never ooze out. Meaning, when you ban somebody, it has permanent effect in the world to come.
Nice.
So Shamta is Shei Misa, or Shei Shmama Yihya, meaning, it's lingering, even after it's, forget they say, even after it's nullified, even after it's nullified, it's still effective.
So maybe from this is the way we learned it. He preferred to lash the person.
Rashi says, "Delay mafnafka minei la'olam." This ban, even after it's lifted, still has a residue and effect on the guy. It lingers on. But the Gemara says, "Pligid Resh Lakish." They argue on Resh Lakish. Because according to Rav and Shmuel, they say what it means, death or desolation, but they both say it has a permanent effect. So they say it argues, and they argue on Resh Lakish. Why? Amid Resh Lakish says that Kshem Shenichneses B'Masayim V'Arboa Shmein Eivodim. Just like a ban, excommunication, penetrates, it enters all 248 organs of the person, the limbs. Kach Kshi Yaitza. The same thing when the ban is over. Yaitim Masayim V'Arboa Shmein Eivodim. It leaves the 248 limbs. In other words, what does Resh Lakish say? You ban the guy completely. When you unban him, it leaves completely. Mm-hmm. That means there is no residue. There's no leftover. No, there's no permanency to it. And Resh Lakish even learns it out from a pasuk. So how do you know a chedem affects all 248 limbs of the body? He says very simple. Tichtiv v'hoi sa'ir chedem. Chedem, Resh Lakish, b'gematria masayim v'abo shmeinim hoyu. Chedem is resh memches, which means it comes into all 248 organs. Kshiyaitza, when it leaves all 248 limbs. Dichsiv, b'regiz rachim tizkir. In wrath, remember to, we say this in Tachnun, yeah? Remember to be merciful. Rachim is also 248. Right? Reish Mem Ches. So he says, Chedem is 248, Rachim, be merciful, is 248. So the Shlokish says, when it comes, it comes that way, and it leaves that way too. So then the Shlokish transformed the Chedem to Rachim.
Okay,
No, so he says, that's why, you have the same thing in Chassidus, it explains many places. You have the word nega, plague. And nega, if you switch around the letters, becomes oneg, pleasure. I mean, you have a lot of words in Teda that one way it means disaster, and switch around the letters, it means unbelievably great.
But before that, you could also do the same thing as the Talmid Chacham. He bans himself and he unbans himself. So from that also you can say it's the same thing.
But how do you know it doesn't have any permanency to it? Rav and Shmuel holds it has a permanency, it has some effect on long time effect.
How do we understand from Berogis Rafim Tiskor?
No, because Berogis, even when you're angry, meaning even when there's a ban, but Rafim Tiskor should have mercy. So the Gemara said that refers to unbanning the person. But you're unbanning with Rachim. You know, I'm banning the person with Rachim, so it's leaving. The Rebbe has an interesting thing about sukkah. It says that the concept of a sukkah is to protect the person mizerem umotar. Mizerem umotar, zerem is like a storm, and umotar is rain. Now, if you notice, zerem is resh mem zayin. Which is 247. Mm-hmm. And Matar is Resh Mem Tes, which is 249. Which is one above the limbs, or one above the mitzvahs, and one less than the mitzvahs. Because the Ramach, 248 passes the mitzvah, corresponds to it. So it says the whole concept of Sukkah is to protect the person from adding onto mitzvahs and to take off mitzvahs. Zedim is taking off mitzvahs, 247, and Matar is 249, adding to mitzvahs. So that's the whole concept of sukkah. Okay, Amar Rav Yosef. You think what we learned until now is doozy? You got to see this one. Amar Rav Yosef. Shdei shamta gnuva de kalba. Cast a chedem on the tail of a dog. V'iyu di day of the, and the dog will already do its own work by harming its own tail. Rav Yosef is saying the power of a ban, that even if you ban a dog's tail, you'll see what happens to the dog's tail. The way it's going to be affected by the ban. And the Gemara tells the story. That he, Kalba, there was a certain dog, Dava Ochum is son of the Rabbanan. He used to eat the rabbi's shoes. No, he used to eat up the rabbi's shoes. And they didn't know who was doing this damage. They didn't know it was the dog. And they said, whoever is doing it is excommunicated. What happened? As a result, a fire caught onto the dog's tail and consumed the tail. Meaning, at the mashal, he brings out the banner from the mashal, that even though the tail is not one of the vital organs of the dog, but the excommunication of the dog, that the Chachamim gave, whoever it was, they didn't know it was the dog, whoever it was, should be excommunicated, and the dog's tail got burnt.
The question is, how did they know it was the dog?
They didn't know. They said anonymously, whoever is doing this is going to be excommunicated.
How could they? How did they know to link the two? Just because the dog's tail got burnt, how do you know it was?
Oh, but so they figure out then afterwards it was the dog.
A quick question: you said that you mentioned before that the quote was saying if you excommunicate a dog's tail, see what happens to the tail. Here they excommunicated the whole dog. Why did only the tail get burnt?
No, he's saying is. Yeah, it's going to harm the tail. I mean, wherever you cast it, that's what it's going to harm.
Oh,
and then the Gemara is going to tell another story about the power of a ban. Ahu Alma, there was a bully. Okay, guy was a bully. Dava kametzaya lahu tzuvim rabban. He used to torment this rabbinical student. Also the kamer of Rav Yosef. So the student finally came to Rav Yosef and said, what can I do with this guy? Amaleis, Rav Yosef said, Zil Shamte, go ban him. You know, go excommunicate him. Amaleis, he said to Rav Yosef, Mr. Finamine, I'm afraid of him. If he hears that I banned him, he'll beat me up. He's a bully. Amaleis, Rav Yosef said to him, you know what? Shkila pesicha alayu. Take out a pesicha on him. Pesicha means a writ of excommunication against him. This document is called pesicha, meaning opening, because you're typically drawn up at the beginning of a court case for a defendant who failed to answer the sum. In other words, he said, don't tell him you're banning him. Get a written ban against the guy. Mm-hmm. But get a written ban against the guy. So he says, Amalei, so he says, Koshkin de Mistafina Mine. So all Morsa should fear him, because I put it in writing. Of course, the guy's going to kill me. Yeah, I'm afraid of him. Amalei said, Rav Yosef said to him, listen, I have an idea for you. Listen to this. Shakta, take this written ban. Achzi bekada, put it in the jar. Ve'achzi bekivrei, put the jar in the cemetery. Okay? Meaning that the living don't frequent. And Rashi explains that this is that the dead people should agree with the ban. And what happens? The krebe alpha shipura ba'arba yemen. Blow 1,000 shefer blasts in the jar on 40 days.
What?
Huh?
1,000 shefer blasts.
Bang your hand on the inner wall of the jar 1,000 times, and the sound will not be heard. I'll explain in a second this whole story. Azal Ovid Hachi. So the student did this. Pakakada. The jar burst. Umis Alman, the bully, died. Rav Yosef gave me an idea how to get rid of the bully. You know, it's interesting, starting the Gemara Brachas, the mayor had a bunch of people in his neighborhood who were terrible, giving a lot of problems. So the mayor wanted the daven that they should die. So the famous wife of the mayor, Brudia, who is, the Gemara called her a big scholar, Brudia said to him, why are you davening that they should die? Why don't you daven they should do tshuva? Like it says, Yitamu chaton min ha'aretz v'lechaitim. So he did it. But here Rav Yosef said to the guy, you know, kill him. So the Gemara says right away, before we see even, so the Gemara says, Ma'ishipure, what's the significance of the shofar blasts? I mean, like, you have the ban, you put it in the cemetery, why do you have to blow shofar?
Well, the question I have is that if it was a ban, why would he have to die?
One second. So it says, Gemara says, Shenefroi mimenu. Because through excommunication, we exact retribution from the evildoer. Meaner, shofar comes to the word pra'ah, which means retribution. So Gemara says, my tavra. What does it mean, the broken blasts of excommunication? The broken blasts allude to the fact that the excommunication breaks. The Tanya breaks buildings. The Tanya, Amir Abshim Gamliel, whenever the sages set their eyes, meaning whenever the sages got angry and they looked at you, it was a misa or ayani, either poverty or death. So as Rav Yosef said, because this guy was a bully and he was starting up with the scholars, basically either Rav Yosef or whoever the scholar was killed the guy. He brings on a very, very interesting thing.
Why couldn't the rabbi talk to him? Bully?
Bullies don't listen.
Why couldn't he get some sense of talking about the bully?
They didn't want to bully people. No, but the Mashosi is a very interesting thing. It's a weird thing. Take an earthenware vessel, put the ban in it, and then blow shofar. I mean, like, what's the meaning of this? So Mashal explains like this. An earthenware vessel resembles a human being. For when it breaks, it's irretrievably lost, just as a human who dies is lost. Hence, by placing the writ of excommunication in the jar, the student symbolically gave it to the bully. The other acts he performed were also symbolic. Putting the jar in a set graveyard alludes to the bully's death and burial. The total number of blasts alludes to the bully's end. For 1,000 is the end, because the highest number. And the 40 days of repetition intimate the 40 days required for a creation of a human fetus. So he said basically, 1,000 is the highest Jewish number in Torah. Okay, that's what we have. So Aleph is basically the highest, even though you have Ribui a few times, but Aleph officially is the highest number. Even Ribui is just 10,000. There's no number in Torah, a million. The highest number in Torah is 1,000. You have 10,000, 100,000, 1,000,000. So he said 1,000 symbolizes the end. The earthenware vessel symbolizes the human. And the 1,000 days, you know, the blowing, the 40 days, is the 40 days of the creation of the embryo. So basically he said, do this and the guy's going to get rid of your bully.
So his intention was to kill
him. Yeah. But he was obligated to get killed. That's why it says, anytime the Chacham were angry at somebody, this Gemara, the Gemara says a lot of times, whenever the Chacham looked at you, you know, either death or poverty, which is considered like death anyway. Mm-hmm. Listen, you have the phrase of Shimon Yochai, when he finally got out of the cave, right. You know, and he finally saw the guy that snitched on him, right. He said, this guy's still alive, and he became a heap of earth. And the guy that made fun why he permitted the Kohen to go in the cemetery, Rav Shimon Yochai said, you saw what I did, and you do it. The guy dropped dead, you know. It's, Chachamim were very powerful people.
What does it mean when he writes Rashi M.S.?
Oh, there's Rashi Ksav Yad. If you see even in the Gemara, you see there's regular Rashi. And then there's an old version of Rashi found in somebody's writing. You know. So like, there are many various changes between Rashi Ksav Yad and the regular Rashi that we have. So Rashi MS refers to...
It's an abbreviation for the English word manuscript. Probably,
manuscript, yeah. It's just Ksav Yad. I'll give you an example. Here he says, take it to the cemetery. Bekivra. So Rashi says, not Rashi, that nobody is there. The top line, the lishchicha tamaninshu, where there's no people there. In the Rashi, Ksav Yad, at the bottom of the page, Rashi says, number one, that the dead people will agree to the ban and they won't reveal it to the bully. So you have nothing to be afraid of. that somebody's going to tell the bully. Because he'll never find out that the people are not going to talk to him. And yet he was able to get done what he needed. Then the Gemara says, in the Mishnah it says, about those people that are allowed to take care of Kotz Chol HaMoed, the Gemara went way off, as we know. But now the Gemara is going back to the Mishnah. It says, if a Nazir finished his Nazirus, Chol HaMoed, he could take a haircut. Or a person who finishes his leprosy during Chol HaMoed. So remember we learned in the Gemara that if you could take a haircut before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. If you cannot take a haircut before Yom Tov, you're allowed to take. So the Gemara, Mishnah gave a bunch of examples. One of it is Nazir, Metzera, and so on. So now, boy, the following question. When you say a leper and a Nazir could take a haircut and Chol HaMoed, does that mean if they had time before Yom Tov to take a haircut? Or only if they didn't have time before Yom Tov to take a haircut? What does it mean? Because there's another issue here involved with a Nazir and a Metzera. The din is, when a Nazir or Metzera finish their leprosy, yeah, they have to shave their head, and then they have to bring a carbon. They cannot bring a carbon until they take a haircut. So now the question is like this. What happens if they finish, let's say, a day before Yom Tov? Okay, so technically they could have taken the haircut before Yom Tov, right? But they didn't. So do we say, listen, you had time and you didn't do it, that's it? Or do we say no, because then you're going to delay the carbon for another week? If you don't let them take a haircut Chol HaMoed, they're going to have to wait until after Yom Tov to take a haircut, till the last days of Yom Tov. Then they could actually bring their carbon. Right? So do we make them wait? Or do we say, listen, they had time to take a haircut before Yom Tov. Yeah. They didn't. Tough luck. Or do we say, no, in these cases it's different because they had to bring a carbon. So that was the Gemara's question. Okay, we'll leave it there.